this rather snappy, won't you? I have some very heavy thinking to do before 10 o'clock.
Hey, welcome to another episode of Get It Right, Texoma, with the Texoma Trio, Mike Hendren, Terry McAdams, Trey Sorala. Thank you very much for being back with us once again. And however you get the show, whether you're watching on YouTube or listening on Spotify or Apple Podcast or whatever, we appreciate you joining us for each and every episode of this. And we do want to get your feedback. We want you to like and share it with all your friends. And tell us, you know, what you think of things.
That's
if,
right.
If there's something maybe we haven't talked about that you feel like we should, for that matter. But
we're open to suggestions. It's a relatively new show. We've been doing this basic format for a long time on broadcast radio.
Yep.
But it's a little different. And so we want some back feedback.
It is. Well, we got some things happening around the area we want to talk about locally. I guess we'll start with that. Huskies Block Party coming up May 25th from 11 to 7 at Castaway Cove. Of course, Trey and I are both Huskies. We both graduated from Hershey High School, which is now in their final weeks and months as a high school.
They're about to do their swan song as a high school.
Yep. So it's a big block party coming up May 25, 11 to 7 at Castaway Cove. If you go to the Huskies for Life reunion page on Facebook, they got all the scoop on it right there. Everything you need to know. The Redneck Culinary Academy. RCA.
That's right.
And we ain't talking records either. Well, not that kind of records.
That's right. We don't have a little dog in the outside.
But Trey has been intimately involved as a cook with this for how long now?
Probably about 5 or 6 years now.
Yep. Yeah. And you got a membership drive going on.
Yep. We're trying to always find new members. You know, it's one of those, it's a group of guys that's come together, and we cook for charity.
Uh-huh.
So it's a lot of fun, really good people, good food. And everybody, what I really like about it is the quality. Everybody's concerned about quality. We not only want to do quality for food, but we also want to do quality on safety and food safety and that sort of thing. Yep. So it's a good group of people, and we'd love for you to get involved. If you have any questions, just give me a call at my store, 940-322-4121, or look up RCA. You have to Google search it, Redneck Culinary Academy. And I think there's an application on there to join us. But it's a lot of fun. And you'll be around a really good group of people, a whole new group of friends, and you're doing something good for the community.
Yep. And we've got, of course, early voting is underway right now.
Yes.
We're kind of coming up on the end of it here.
We're at the precipice.
We are. The Super Tuesday primaries are coming up March 5th. And early voting, from what I hear, the numbers so far, this is all rumor, of course, but the numbers so far pretty strong.
Are they?
For early voting.
Have you voted yet?
Oh, no, I haven't. I need to
get over there. If you're in Clay County, just so you know, it's at the VFW hole, which is way down the road. It's almost out of town by the old Pioneer Reunion Rodeo Grounds.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the voting is right now. They thought they were going to have their annex.
The annex.
Yeah, there's the old Wells Fargo building that's right off the square in Henrietta. They thought they were going to have that done, and that's kind of an annex, but it's not done, so you have to go all the way down to the VFW hall.
Yeah.
Just for our Clay County listeners or watchers, just a little note.
There you go. The Wichita Falls Chamber of Commerce, Defining Our Culture. This is a little symposium, seminar. What is it exactly?
I think it's going to be like a workshop.
Workshop.
I went to the Chamber update meeting, yearly meeting a couple of weeks ago. And Ron Kitchens talked about this, and I believe it's going to be like a 2-day workshop, for the 10th and 11th of April.
Yeah.
And what they're wanting to do is getting a whole bunch of people in the room and talk about defining our culture. They're going to have a professional speaker. I believe it's a sociologist or somebody who's leading the discussion, and it's going to be defining the culture of Wichita Falls. What is Wichita Falls about? It's a big thing that we need to determine how we're going to grow as a city. There's a lot of ideas out there, but they're trying to just get a lot of people in the room and come up with some good ideas on this.
Yeah. Right.
And hopefully it's a little more than just the getting the falls back in.
Yeah, Wichita falls back in.
Oh, gosh.
By the way, if you ever want to see something funny and it'll laugh your ass off, Google search put the falls back at Wichita Falls on YouTube.
Yeah.
And there's a video that was made in the 80s sung by a local artist, Cinnamon, I believe was her name. And there was a video and a song, and it is cheesy as hell, but it is funny. It's a slice of the 80s in Wichita Falls.
Yeah.
And let me just tag that with, you're welcome.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of Ron Kitch, I really want to get Ron on this show.
Yeah, Ron's a good dude.
I really want to get him on the program. Not just to talk about, you know, this, but if we can, but also, but just in general, the chamber and its role. We saw a lot of big changes with the Chamber of Commerce in the last two or three years. One of the biggest ones is they finally moved the offices down to the street level.
Yes.
They were buried in this dark, almost...
you had to go the back way to get there.
Yeah, it was like this chamber. Yeah, you know, the chamber looked like a dark chamber.
Looked like a chamber, yeah.
You know, and it was, seriously, it looked like a you know, something out of a 60s TV show. You know, it was a terrible place. And Henry Florsheim, when he was the president of the chamber here, he led the charge on this, and they finally got down to the first floor of the Hamilton Building. They're on the street level. It's beautiful.
Right now, on the corner.
People actually know they are there.
Yes.
They are accessible. And they look like they're really, you know, in the community. Whereas before, they didn't look that way at all. Not even close. And so it's, you know, we saw that change. But I think the chamber, I think, is more involved probably today in the overall business culture of the city than they ever have been. I hear more people, but put it this way, I hear more conversations and more discussion about the chamber and chamber events than I think I've ever heard.
Yeah.
They're part of the conversation.
Yeah. There's been a lot of changes. And Henry did a great job in a lot of ways. Sure. And I think he started kind of this whole revolution of bringing the chamber into the new century and things like that.
Yeah.
And then Ron is really taking off with it as well. So
yeah, it's no longer just a place where a bunch of guys sit around a dark room and smoke cigars drink scotch and, you know, talk about anything other than you.
Yeah. So that's right.
Anyway, well, what else here do we
need? Spring Break Camp. Let's talk about this real quick. It's going to be March 11th through the 15th. And if you're watching this, you better go get signed up. I mean, you may not even be able to. I'm going to throw it out there just in case.
Maybe full already.
But it may be full. It's only $80 per child for the week or $70 per child if you're a Riverbend Nature Center member. And a lot of cool stuff, hands-on stuff. And it's something for your kids to do. If you're not going out of town or something like that, get your kids out of the house.
Yeah.
Get some learning on. So it's a great thing for them to do.
I want to talk about Artie here for a moment.
Artie Woods, yeah.
Artie Woods, most of you, wherever you're watching this from, you're familiar with the McGruff crime dog and the McGruff crime program that was really big in the 80s. Mm-hmm. There was a McGruff crime dog program in pretty much every community around America. It kind of went away, you know, kind of started to fade away a few years ago. But and I don't know that Artie has the only remaining active, really active McGruff program in the country.
Sure.
But it's certainly, if there's five in the country, this is the number one.
It used to be funded, by the way, federally, and now that went away and Artie has kept us going with private donations all these years.
That's right. His 40th annual car show fundraiser is coming up March the 9th from 8 in the morning until 1 in the afternoon at Lone Star Muscle Cars. That's at 7592 Seymour Highway here in Wichita Falls. And this is, you know, his 40th annual car show. But Artie started doing this. It's been more than 40 years ago.
Oh, yeah. He's been doing this. Things for years.
And he has absolutely taken this program to, I guarantee you, every elementary school within probably an hour of here.
And multiple times, I imagine.
And multiple times.
I remember seeing Artie when I was in elementary school.
Yeah.
In the 80s.
Oh, yes. I do too. Yeah.
Remember Artie coming doing McGruff?
Yes.
When he was a very young man.
Yeah.
Well, not a very young man, but a much younger man.
Much younger, you know.
Yeah.
Well, now he's only 104, but still, I'm teasing. Don't get mad. Anyway, Artie's a great guy, and he's done this for many, many years. He's very dedicated to it, very dedicated to the children, and he just, I think when the program, the story I've heard is they auctioned off all the stuff. They had a van, and they had the puppet, you know, and they had all the stuff that went with it. And a bunch of his friends got together and bought everything and donated to Artie and said, here, keep it going.
Keep it going.
And he has. And he has been so dedicated to this for probably every bit of 45 years now.
The late Joe Tom White was a huge push with Artie.
Oh, yeah.
Keeping him going, and I think he's one of the ones that organized the keeping the McGruff thing going.
Yeah.
We should bring them on.
Well, we should. We'll do our best. We can get him up here. I mean, it's early in the morning.
Yeah. McGruffs like to sleep in.
Yeah. We usually record this show early in the day because these two are really busy, and I need a nap. So there's that. Anyway.
But when you're independently wealthy like Mike, you can just sleep the day away.
Yeah.
Couple local things that I think are pretty cool.
So independently wealthy, I'm working harder than I've ever worked in my life. I'm telling you.
This is kind of somewhat local. I mean, it's in the local area. But a couple of weeks ago, the Herring Bank in Vernon celebrated its 125-year anniversary.
Yeah.
In 1899, C.T. Herring built Herring Bank in Vernon.
Yep.
And it's still going. Yep. And I just think that's awesome.
And then there aren't many institutions of any sort that can brag that they've been around for that long.
No.
Very few.
Well, very few. Or they've been absorbed into larger companies many times.
Right, right. And so, you know, to have something that's that independent and still bears the original family name and is still in that community, in the original community where it started, nonetheless.
Yes, yeah. I think it's great.
That's tremendous. You don't see that every day. You just don't. Unfortunately, you don't see it every day. So, all right, well, where do we want to go next here with this? We got several things on the list here we need to.
Well, you want to talk a little bit more about some local cool stuff. The Wichita Falls ISD welding class at the CEC did well at the USA Skills Competition. They came home with 3 gold medals, a silver medal, and a bronze medal.
Awesome.
So, did they weld those medals?
They probably not.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Career and Technology Center.
Career Education Center. CEC.
I'll get it right in a minute. The CEC. I really bragged on it when that first opened, and when I first of all, seeing it was an amazing place.
Pretty phenomenal.
Pretty phenomenal place. And I really bragged on when they first opened it because I really felt like, you know, this is the greatest achievement that the Wichita Falls ISD has made in my lifetime.
I agree with that.
Building that was a tremendous achievement. It's something that was a long time coming. Should have been done years ago, but it's done. And how long has it been open now? Was it like 5, 6 years?
8 years? Probably going on 8. This may be the 7th year or 8th year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course now we've got the 2 new high schools that are being constructed that are, you know, and one of them is like practically next door to
CC. Yeah.
So it's we've made great, the school district has made a lot of great strides in improving their image, their profile in the community.
From a facility standpoint.
Yes. And one of the things I think people need to recognize, whether you agree or disagree with this, whether you think it's right or wrong, doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is that for a community, for a city, a huge marketing component for your city is your public school system.
Absolutely.
Because for the fact of the matter is, for the vast majority of people, public school is how your kids are going to get educated.
Yep.
Not many people can afford a private school education for 12 years. Homeschooling is not for everybody. It's a huge commitment. So for most families and most children, public school is how it's going to happen. And when you have nice facilities, attractive facilities, when you have And obviously when you have a good education system in place, you got good people in place, that goes a long way toward helping to market your city and promote your city. Yeah. And having those schools built where they are visible. They're not buried back in some neighborhood. They're visible.
That's correct.
They're accessible and they're visible to people coming through your city, and people get to see that as it basically it's giant billboards for your community in a lot of ways.
It's everything, yes. And like we talked about in our last show as well, it also spurs growth. It spurs economic growth. You're going to have gas stations and grocery stores or convenience stores and cell phone places and all kinds of places that are going to spring up right around there to service people that are going in and out of there every day.
And homes.
And homes.
We're going to see homes built too. I really think We have so much potential in this city for growth. It's ridiculous how much potential we've got.
Yeah.
We just have to take advantage of it. And we have to get people invested, not just financially, but in every other way. We've got to get people really invested in the growth of the community and seeing things prosper here.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, another thing that I've kind of been sitting on this for a couple of weeks, but we just hadn't gotten to it yet. There's some reports coming out of the White House that Corinne Jean-Pierre and press secretary, who's a White House press secretary, and Admiral Kirby, who's a National Security Council coordinator, reportedly at odds. Now, no. I will say this. I think that Kirby is probably the most competent person that's in this administration on a face figure. When he gets up in front of the microphone, yes, he's towing the party line a little bit. And I don't necessarily know what his politics are, but he's towing the line of the administration line to some degree.
Sure.
But I believe he's trying to give as straightforward answers and honest answers to the American public as he can.
Right.
And she's completely full of crap. I mean, you know. Yeah. And part of it is her job, to be honest with you. She has a crap job.
Yeah.
Because she's trying to cover for a brain-dead person who's running a crappy administration.
Yeah.
But apparently she and the two of them are at odds. He doesn't like the way she delivers things. And apparently she's starting to get upset because he's taking a lot of spotlight because I think a lot of the White House press corps, who are, by the way, not conservative people for the most part, pretty liberal people, but they're gravitating towards him because they feel like they're getting good solid information and not bullshit from him.
Yeah, yeah. They're actually getting answers.
Yes.
And they're getting she is one of the worst communicators I've ever seen. In that job. She is one of the absolute worst.
Now, Jim Psaki was way better. When you look back, people thought Jim Psaki was crap.
Yeah.
Jim Psaki was miles better than this one.
Yeah. Old circle back. She was a lot, yeah.
Yes.
That was her favorite tagline. Let's circle back to that.
Let me circle back to that.
Circle back to that. So that's why I started calling her Circle Back Psaki.
Circle Back Psaki.
Anyway. No, I it doesn't surprise me to hear that they're at odds with one another. And I the fact that Corinne Jean-Pierre is still there at all, to me, is amazing. Yeah. She's just not good at her job.
Well, Kayleigh McEnany was probably the best that I've seen in the past.
Yeah.
There's been some good ones. And forget the, but once again, forget the politics. I'm not talking about conservative or Republican or Democrat or whatever. I'm just talking about at that job, White House press secretary, Kayleigh McEnany was probably the most competent and the quick-witted of any of those that I can remember seeing.
Their core capabilities.
Yes.
Well, don't you think that though she has a very difficult job anyway? Right now, the current.
Oh, that's what I said. Yeah.
I mean, that's
a tough gig.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then she just need to get somebody else who can handle it a little better.
Yeah, I agree.
Overall, because she might have been okay if it had an overall good administration.
Might have. I don't know.
Maybe. Dana White's comment about Sean Strickland's comment on you're going to have to explain this to me.
Okay, yeah. Well, I threw this in there because it just something that struck me as funny. Dana White, of course, is the CEO of the UFC,
right?
The Ultimate Fighting Championship. And Sean Strickland just actually got beat, but he was a former champion in UFC, and he's very outspoken. And he's one of those people, he's outrageous in a lot of ways, too. He says a lot of things. He does speak from the heart, and but he is kind of outrageous to listen to. Well, Dana White was on Vivek Ramaswamy's podcast.
Okay.
And Sean Strickland's comments came up, and they were in Canada, I believe. And Sean Strickland made some comments that some people thought were targeted towards gay people. It was Sean Strickland running his mouth. And some people took offense and some people didn't. Well, Ramaswamy asked Dana White, you know, what do you think about this guy's comments? He said, look, Dana White said, I don't care how people live their life, but the one thing I'm not going to do is I'm not going to censor my employees. They're grown people. And by the way, they're independent contractors. They're fighters. This is the fight game. This isn't church. They can say what they want to say. But the best comment I've ever heard in a long time was, he said, and the good news is, if you don't like what he says, tune in on Saturday night, you get to see him get punched in the face. That's actually pretty funny if you think about that. You think about that. So if there's a fighter out there, if there's somebody who's involved in combat sports, and you don't like what that person says, guess what? You get to watch somebody punch him in the mouth. Even if they win, they still get to get punched. Yeah. Anyhow, I thought that was funny.
Even Mike Tyson got hit once in a while.
That's right.
Once in a while.
And he bites your ear off.
Yeah, yeah. Mike Tyson got hit several times.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Anyhow, I just thought that was a real funny thing. And it is, in a way, it's kind of purely, it's pure. It's a pure comment.
Yeah.
The uniform election procedures for any election that has national implications. So we're talking about uniform election procedures. We're talking about every state follows a prescribed, probably a federally prescribed set of rules on how to conduct elections.
On anything that has national implications.
Right.
I think this is important, okay? Because here's my thing. If you want to be in Portland, Oregon, and in Portland, Oregon, you want to let illegal aliens or whatever, you know, serve on your city council, I don't care. Doesn't affect me, right? And if you want to have some wacky stuff in your state that just your state government, once again, I really don't care because I could choose or not choose to live in your state or drive to your state.
Yeah.
But when you have this ballot harvesting and some of these crazy things and this unlimited mail-in ballots and some of these election things that we all know are wide open for corruption, and it's on a national level.
Yep.
See, the thing is, just because Ronnie Jackson is from Texas, doesn't mean that he only represents Texas. He represents everybody in the United States, because the rules and the laws that he helps vote on affect everybody in the United States because it's federal. Same as a person in California or whatever. So to me, and I think this is good, should be good for everybody. I don't know why anybody would go against this. Have uniform election laws that have implications for any national election, and it must be done this way. You know, have to show your ID, have to, you know, no ballot harvesting, no whatever it is. And if you want to do some crazy shit in your elections, in your local, your hometown, your county, or your state, I don't care. Go right ahead.
Well, and as far as take the mail-in ballots, and I've been saying this for years now, is the practice of allowing a mail-in ballot to be received and counted days or even weeks after an election has concluded, that needs to stop. Okay, it's look, you know when an election is going to take place. You know it takes time for your mail-in ballot to arrive. The people, the entity producing the ballots knows it's going to take time to arrive. You get the ballots produced, you have firm deadlines, and if you can't get the ballot in the mail to get delivered on time, too bad. Sorry, if it's not in the hands of the election officials, opened, certified as genuine, and ready to go, by the time those polls close on election day, it goes right in the round file.
That's called
the trash can, y'all.
Your comment on this has been perfect, Mike. You're absolutely right. You can't go at 7:04.
That's exactly right.
Doors are locked, and you start beating on the door and go, hey.
I need to vote.
Yeah.
Nope, sorry.
So why you're absolutely right. Why could you accept ballots that are after that time? These things don't sneak up on you.
No.
We know about these elections years in advance. We know they're years in advance there's going to be an election.
Yeah. Right.
But we know the dates of the election at least a year out.
Yeah. You know who's running. You know who's going to be on the ballot. You know when the election's going to take place. And more than likely, I'll guarantee you 98 times out of 100, you've made up your mind who you're going to support weeks, if not months, in advance of an election. You already know who you're going to support. Let's take, for example, the presidential election. There's a pretty good chance, it's now the end of February when we're doing this episode. The presidential election is coming up in November. More than likely, if you've made up your mind that you're going to vote in the Republican race for Donald Trump, you're going to support Donald Trump in November. If you've made up your mind today that you're going to support Joe Biden or whoever the Democrat happens to be, and I don't think it's going to be Joe Biden, but whoever the Democrat, you're going to support that person. You've made up your mind. You know There's no reason for you to wait until the last possible second and get into a panic to mail in a ballot and then expect that if the ballot is late getting there because of the Postal Service or whatever anomaly causes it to be late, that your ballot should be counted even days or weeks after the election. That's ridiculous.
You have all these hardships and the whole system is racist against everybody. Yeah. And so therefore you've got to get, you know, come on. It's hard to get an ID.
Oh, okay.
We need to save that till the next. The bottom one I have on there, that's something I've been marinating on for quite some time, and that's part of that. So, but here's the thing. And look, I'm okay with, I think we have kind of too many holidays anyhow, but I would actually be okay with Election Day, National Election Day, being a national holiday.
Oh, sure.
And banks closed, sure. Post office closed, retail business closed. Let's make it like Christmas.
Yeah.
Where you can't be open.
Right.
Maybe have some, maybe restaurants or something like that, or grocery stores or something like that. But you, for most time, encourage almost every business, retail and otherwise, to be closed that day.
Yeah.
And we're going to have a National Election Day. And look, I'm still okay with having some mail-in ballots because you do have people that are infirmed, and you do have people that are in the military and there are far off lands and things like that.
Yes,
but do not do the mail-in ballot needs to be by far the exception, not the rule, and like you need to be a pretty high like it used to be. It needs to be a pretty high bar.
Yeah,
it can't be just because you might have a tummy ache that day. And by the way, if you wake up that morning and you have a tummy ache and you can't vote, sorry.
Well, the nature of your business is you travel a lot, then there may be a reason if you're gone for weeks at a time,
sure, or something,
because you may actually miss the early voting. But you need to get that in early enough.
But you still know when it's going to happen.
Right. But can
There's
you?
No
now,
reason
I have a question
to.
For you. You know, if you actually do apply and if there's a future criteria. For getting it, but if you get that in hand, can you still say, well, you know what, I'm able to make it? Can you then go and vote as long as you're not filing both,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you can't do both. But, yeah, you could request a mail-in ballot and then go vote in person if you want to. Yeah.
Okay, well, that right there is gives you your flexibility.
Yes.
Vote early, vote often is a joke, guys. Yes, some people, I think, take it seriously.
No, but I really think that this should be something we ought to look at as a country. And yeah. I believe that if everybody has to agree on it, it has to be voted on by you'll get 50 states together and 50 states appoint an election person, and you come up with a commission who comes up with the uniform election laws, and then get them voted. I don't know if we do them by popular vote, if we do it by congressional, you know, make it a law, which usually should be congressional because you'd make it a law. But I would say get 50 states together. Every state sends a representative. They're going to represent your state on these uniform election deals and come up with a plan, come up with something that makes sense and it makes fair for everybody. But like you said, it is February now, but let's say we wait till the convention. But the conventions are what, late summer?
Well, the Democratic convention is in August. I'm not sure about
that. Late summer. Yeah. So, but my point is by September, mm-hmm. you have to know who the nominees are. They have to be on the ballot by September.
Yeah.
So that gives you 2 months.
Yeah.
To get your fecal matter in order.
Yeah. So you know what's going on. And well, you talk about uniformity in federal elections. Look how we do with the president. We have the Electoral College system.
Yes.
And it's worked very well for how many hundred years now? You know, I mean, come on, it works. You can have uniformity in this. And still allow the states and the municipalities to run their elections on a local level the way they, because I'm with you. You want some wackadoodle running your city? Hey, that's on you.
Yeah.
Now, elections have consequences. Who you put in power, who you elect, who you put in charge of things is going to have an impact on your community. There are people right now. Matter of fact, I just. Before we early this morning, before we started doing this show, I had responded to a message I got from someone on social media about they were asking me about elections, and they were asking me also about moving to Texas, and they
he got excited because they thought they were asking about erections, but they looked at it closer and it said elections.
Thank you for that. That mental picture that you all have now. Anyway. We were talking about moving to Texas, And the question was, is what is most appealing to people? Why are so many people coming to your state? And I said, well, there's a variety of reasons, but economic freedom has a lot to do with it. Mm-hmm. The overall structure of our economy, it's not hard to do business in Texas. Some states have made it so difficult with regulation and fees and taxes and all the, some New York, California have made it so hard to do business there. Business people are leaving these places. They are coming here. They're bringing their headquarters here. Small businesses, which the small business person, that's the backbone of America. Most businesses in this country are small businesses, not huge mega corporations. A lot of small businesses are leaving the West Coast and the East Coast, and they're coming to the middle of America, and a whole bunch of them. We're gaining, I want to say 1,280 a day.
Wow, that's a lot.
Is the number of citizens we're gaining.
Legal ones. We're getting a whole lot more of those from the southern border.
Yes, we're getting a whole lot more there, not here. But people migrating from other parts of America, 1,280, I think, is the number per day that are on average are settling in Texas. And a lot of these people, if they're not opening a business here, they're going to work for a small business
here. Absolutely, yeah.
All of this is growing our economy in Texas. So we're seeing some pretty explosive growth in our state. But a lot of it comes down to how our state is run. The lack of overbearing regulation, the lack of a state income tax, the fact that you have so much freedom here in so many ways that you don't get to enjoy in some places. Yeah. That's what's attracting people here and bringing them here in massive numbers. And I got to tell you, look at Texas. This is what winning looks like, y'all.
That's right.
This is what winning looks like right here. All right, guys, we'll wrap it up. Have a great rest of your day, night, week, whatever, however you get this show, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcast. Be sure and like, share, comment, share your feedback with us. We want to hear from you.
Absolutely.
And we look forward to having you with us for the next episode. Be watching for it. Until then, y'all take care. We will see you down the road.